This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jerry's set to join us here momentarily, and we're going to set him up with this clip from his football life airing the other night on the NFL Network. This was Friday night, and I had to take this piece of audio as we're getting set to talk to Jerry today.
What do you have here?
I've got some sweet strawberry wine right here. No, this is iced tea, and I keep too much of it on hand and drink too much of it throughout the day.
Hey, Marilyn, is there any tea?
Well, Marilyn has been making it for longer than we both want to remember.
You want some iced tea, Steve?
Yeah, I'll take some.
So mostly I drink tea, even hot tea. I get high on you iced tea.
How do you take it? You put sugar in it?
No, I drink it straight.
Jerry Jones, iced tea, nonstop, no sugar.
I'm with you. I'm an unsweet tea guy, too.
Oh, no.
The sweet stuff tastes horrible. It's just...
like sugar?
Yeah, it's just too powerful, man. I am totally an unsweet tea.
No.
That's the real stuff. That's just water. That's just water with tea. That's great. That's how it's supposed to be.
So I watched this on Friday night. I actually rewatched it yesterday. That's how much of a Jerry problem I may have.
Unsweet.
Let's bring in the Hall of Famer, Jerry Jones. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
On RJ, good morning. And, man, we got a little bite in the air, and it feels real football, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Before we get to that, did you get a chance to check out your football life the other night, or did you already see it?
I have. And certainly it brought back not only the current memories of having done it, but I'm talking about the show. But basically it just really got back in some time there when I was thinking of my mother and dad and growing up.
How many glasses of iced tea do you have per day?
Well, that might be a little. I don't start that until 12 or 1, and so you can add it up from there, and then I go to something a little stronger about 2.
2 o'clock.
But this sip all day long has got to stop. But seriously, I do drink some iced tea, but I try to watch that caffeine.
Okay, but there's no sugar in it, so at least you're benefiting
good.
Their health.
Yeah.
What is the secret to Miss Marilyn's iced tea? What's so good about hers?
She does. She puts that peach in it.
Ah.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
So there is a sweet factor in there.
There's a sweet factor there, but no sugar. That's good.
Okay.
But Marilyn's been fixing that iced tea for me for a long time. I think it's almost 40 years, so she could probably just stir it with her finger and I'd get enough flavor.
Jerry Jones every Tuesday brought to you by Bank of America and Ford. You know, there was a lot of highlights that we played yesterday from the football life. My favorite one though was like Jimmy pulling you aside on that Hall of Fame stage and telling you that no one has had more passion than you. And you guys had an awesome moment right there. And then you told him out of all the moves, the best one was bringing his rear end on board first. What was your favorite part, Jerry, of the special? Was there one that stood out to you besides the parents, or was that number one?
No, I, of course, those days were so trying for me, and I was so nervous. I just knew I was, as I said, going to go down as the idiot that had a chance to financially be pretty solid for the rest of your life and blew it all trying to coach football. But I was real nervous during those times. I was so excited, though. There was nothing that discouraged me because I was going to live and live in the dream. Jimmy was certainly someone that I had confidence in. I had really been a big prime mover for him when he got the Oklahoma State job. I'd actually talked to Frank Rawls at Arkansas and encouraged Frank Rawls to make Jimmy the head coach when he was an assistant there. He brought in Lou Holtz instead. And then as that Oklahoma State job came up in Oklahoma, my oil and gas business partners were very instrumental and engaged at Oklahoma State. And they were interviewing Hayden Fry, Grant Taft, a lot of coaches like that. Well, anyway, I got them to look at Jimmy, and Jimmy could sell himself. And next thing I knew, he was a head coach there at Oklahoma State. My offices were in Oklahoma City, and I was a sponsor on his show, and I didn't have anything to sell. All it said was... on his television shows, as you know, that's a source of income for these college coaches, or was back then. And so I just signed up to pay some money in just to support him. But Gene and I used to go to when they would have their end of spring practice outing with his coaching staff, Dave Weinstead, Tony Wise, Dave Campo. Well, Gene and I would meet them for two or three days and play cards and have fun and play a little golf. And we'd just meet them and enjoy a good time. So we had a good relationship, and it was a logical thing for me to do when I became involved with the Cowboys to ask Jimmy to be the head coach. I'll never forget, we were sitting in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I said, Jimmy, I said, Dallas is down financially. Buildings are half finished, half full. The ones that are finished, banks going broke. The Cowboys were a sign of solid economic times there in Dallas. And what if we went down there and all of a sudden got the Cowboys turned around, and all of a sudden things turned around economically, and wouldn't that be great to ride that wave? Boy, we both all fired up and pumping and getting ready to come down here and do that. And I didn't realize that I'd become when I came into town Darth Vader for making the change from Coach Landry to Jimmy. So all of that football life really reminded me of those times.
But Jerry, I'm glad you brought that up. Randy Galloway was in the piece and said that Bum Bright called him and said, I offered to make the Landry move, and Jerry refused and said that wouldn't be right. And Galloway gave you some credit saying that says what type of guy Jerry is. Why didn't you let Bum Bright? Because there's still some old school Cowboy fans that hold that against you. Why didn't you let Bum Bright just make the Landry move himself instead of you?
Well, it shows how smart Bum was. By the way, he's the toughest trader and renowned for being a tough trader. And, boy, we negotiated hard, hot, and heavy. And I'll never forget, we actually announced that I had bought the team, and there was very little relative to what was to come as to a written agreement. It just basically had probably 30 things, and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars still left to be decided. And one time we were in the middle, after we had announced that I bought the team, after I had announced that I was bringing in Jimmy Johnson as coach, made the change with Coach Landry, after all of that, we were sitting there arguing over a lot of money, not arguing, but bargaining. And I said, Bum, what would you do if we've already announced it? What would you do if I just went home and I didn't agree to this? And he winked at me and said, I got me a new coach. Because I'd already made the change with Coach Landry and Jimmy. The other thing is, when I went to my NFL meeting, and I had yet to be approved, and there were some issues regarding Tex and what his future was going to be, and Tex was very cherished by Pete Rozelle, then the commissioner. But during those particular times, I went to actually the meeting that Pete Rozelle resigned, NFL meeting that Pete Rozelle resigned. And then I went in to meet the management council that approved the new owners. And they said, under what authority are you making those changes? You haven't even been approved as an owner. How could you change out the coach? How are you doing this? or what makes you think you can do it? And so I said, well, I guess technically Tex-Ram's still doing it. But we're having to move on. We can't stand still down there.
Mm. Jerry Jones joining us here at 105 through the Fan. All right, let's get to this game a little bit. Giants coming up. They make a head coaching change. Do you think teams get an emotional, I know Sean and I do, but do you think teams get an emotional bump when they change head coaches?
Well, I know that, which I hate to think about a negative time, but when Wade Phillips was our coach and I made the change with to Jason, Jason was the offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, and I made him the head coach. The only time I've ever done anything like that during the season. And I've always regretted it because I think the world of Wade Phillips. Not regret it, but just hated that it worked out that way. Well, we go, ironically, to the Meadowlands. We go up and play the New York Giants. And that's Jason Garrett coming in on interim basis, first game. And we win. And we went on a great interception out of our end zone for 100, almost 100 yards or 100 yards. But ironically, it's when Jason first took over his first game as head coach anywhere was against the Giants in the Meadowlands, just like we're going to be up there Saturday, and we won.
And we're also worried that the Giants don't do much to scare us, but you know, players giving more effort under Steve Spagnuolo, and Eli's probably going to get an incredible ovation, Jerry, with all the drama that he's gone through in the past week. Have you thought about that and how important it'll be to kind of stem that tide early on with a lot of the Giant emotions in that crowd?
Well, I do. We have such respect for Eli. Should have. And I have tremendous respect for his family, and you know that they. I've said this that I think they're the first family of football. Archie is, I think, so much of him. I've known him for 100 years, and my grandson went to Peyton and Eli's and Archie's went to their training camp. When he was early in his high school football career, he would, I think he went to as many as two of those camps with Archie and Peyton, and I think Eli may have been in and out those camps. But when I get, when something good happens, especially when we play Eli, invariably I'll get a note from Archie talking about it one way or the other. I'll send him a note.
Jerry, Dak hurt his hand during the game. What's the latest on him and his status?
I don't know that there's any issue at all. In other words, I feel good about it.
Sean Lee, good to go?
Mm-hmm. Looks that way. We'll see as we get into these harder practices this week, but in the meat of the practices. But right now, I would hope that he could go.
Jerry, are you in the mindset, or do you think the team is in the mindset that you guys have to run the table in order to get in with the way some of the standings look? I heard you the other day say, normally teams come back to you a little bit. It usually evens out. But are you in the mindset, you guys, that you have to run the table?
Well, let's just talk about these Giants, and I know I sound like a coach.
Oh.
But we really do. We really do have to just play this thing series by series, quarter by quarter, and you know the rest. And let's think like that on any day. Any of these teams you're playing, you can mess it up enough, turn it over enough, and you can come out of there with a loss, and or they can do the same thing, you can get the win. Let's just see how it works out. But my experience has been, I wouldn't, with four games remaining, a quarter of the season, I wouldn't pencil it in yet.
I think Jason Garrett's having an effect on you, Jerry.
So
we
too.
Had Jason on
well,
yesterday. That's
he's really not. You know that deep down, and I've got it all set up in my mind how to get there. But that's not what should come out of my mouth.
Jerry Jones brought to you by Bank of America and Ford here on 105.3 The Fan. Is there any update as to the Roger Goodell situation and where things stand with your satisfaction?
Well, we're going to have a meeting here in Dallas in about 10 days on the 13th, so it's less than that. And we should have a real good airing out of some of the things that we've been reading about. And in the meantime, I'm having lots of conversation with a lot of owners.
You feel good about your position and where things stand?
That's about all I want to say about it. I feel good about the future of the league. I really do. And I really think that relative to how we make decisions, some of the things that we need to address, no organization is immune from needing to make some changes and addressing things in some different ways. That's just part of going forward. I feel real good about doing all that. We've got a lot of pluses. In my mind, frankly, I've never been in this league when I feel better about its future, and I mean that.
Jerry, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the iced tea early and whatever else later, and good luck on Sunday. We'll be rooting for you.
You bet, guys. I enjoyed talking with you. Bye.
Jerry Jones, brought to you by Bank of America and for the official vehicles.
Yeah, a little Star Wars reference, Darth Vader.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, what, Darth Vader? Oh, yeah, that was early on.
That was the best part of the whole interview. Yeah, Sean Lee, Dak, whatever.
How about the really quick anecdote about how Jason Garrett hasn't rubbed off on him one bit? I was like, yeah. Yeah, Jason's really got you by the strings.
Yeah, you know, the thing that stood out the most, and, you know, one guy tweeted me like, oh, my gosh, you know, why are you talking to Jerry about this stuff? To me, the highlight of Jerry Jones on, he's one of the greatest storytellers of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, we can get the injury updates and all that stuff and the game strategy. These guys always have to talk generic and vanilla now. When he gets into the stories, that's my favorite part. Like, if someone told me, you know, just stick it to the football and not any of the stories, I'd be like, you can maybe one of the other shows get an interview. That's the highlight, man, the stories and all that stuff. And in his football life, the biggest thing that jumped out, I think the trait that makes Jerry, he keeps on saying, no, my tolerance for ambiguity. And what he's trying to say is, and it took me 6 years to finally get it, he has a tolerance for risk that would scare the rest of us. Whether you're standing at a card table, whether you're making a deal, like, Jerry doesn't shake as much as the rest of us when it's all on the line. And that's why, you know, Wildcatter, they called it, when he's sitting there trying to find all the oil, as Troy would call it, after he didn't have his Chargers bid go through. But I think he views that as something that separates himself from others. He has a tolerance and he has a calmness with the crazy, frightening risks that are out there. And that's what he refers to as tolerance for ambiguity. When Steven's freaking out over the Deion deal, Jerry's just got a big smile on his face.
He doesn't care, because the way it is, you know, he views it as, yeah, it may fail, but I can always make more money. And that's the way he views things.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I can always make more money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how entrepreneurs are made.
Yeah. My dad will do this, obviously, to a penny scale, but he'll be like, no, I can try to sell something. I can maneuver for the money. And I'm like, I didn't know making money was just that easy.
Right. Like, my parents will always say, why do you gamble so much? I get paid next week. You know, you can always make more money.
Yeah, they're probably like, what about the two kids you got sent to college?
Well, right, that's in 10 years.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.